comfortable starting? Tape is on. This is the Joint Emergency Communications Services Association Policy Board for Friday, June 26, 2015. It is just after 7:30 in the morning. Thank you all for being here. Quickly, let's go ahead and go around the room and introduce ourselves. Tom, we'll start with you.
Tom Jones, Director JCC.
Kathy Hoskins, I'm the comms assistant.
Michelle Payne or Susan Mims from Iowa City.
Chris Hoffman, North Liberty.
Mitch Gross, Corville.
Nick Canary, Jack.
Jeff Stone, attorney.
Lonnie Polkrawick, Johnson, sheriff.
Tom Marcus, Iowa City.
Dave Wilson, emergency management.
Diana Krumzard, public health.
Brandon Ziggins, emergency communications coordinator at the JAC.
And I'm Terrence Newshill, and I serve as a member of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors. Our first action and item of business is to approve the minutes of the March 27, 2015 Policy Board meeting. Is there a motion? Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion approved. Move to comments from the public. Anybody from the public? We'll have Diana talk a little bit about one of the items a little bit later in the agenda here, coming up real shortly. Anyone from the public? You want to say anything else? You're good?
I'm
good. Okay. We'll move to Executive Director's update. Tom.
Well, I kind of typed up a summary again for you guys of the last couple of months activities. At the end of April, Brandon and I attended the International Academy of Mercy Dispatch and Navigators Conference. That's a really good conference. It's both our first time. The vendor, we worked with them on some software this year, and as part of that, they included allowing us to attend their conference at no charge and our stay. So Brandon and I just had to arrange our travel there. And again, a good conference. I think it's one that we both walked away feeling that probably one of the better ones that we've seen offered to attend in the future. And we also got the software package so that all attendees here could review it and use it as monthly training. So every presentation that we attended, they recorded and had the training materials, so each of our staff members has gotten to review that as well and is using it for monthly training. So that's good. It all counts toward their continuing education for EMD and other areas. So Harris was on site the end of April and May, if you recall, to finish a fiber connectivity redundancy between Jack and Oakdale and also upgrade the router modules. That project was approved last September in 2014. They finally got out here and got everything finished between April and May. There's an item at the end on our agenda, too, to discuss about just approving the final change order in that payment for some extra cards that were needed. But again, the project was paid with E911, and they've paid everything. It's just for us to memorialize the project and final sign-off. So that work is complete. So we now have fiber redundancy between Jack, Oakdale, DPS and Blank Honor. So we have another little miniature fiber ring through the core and for redundancy to the microwave for our radio system. So a good project to get complete. The week of May 18th, Harris came on site between Johnson and Linn County, partnered together, and we held P25 system administration training here. There's been a lot of new people and new roles here since we first opened, and the training was part of our original project back in 2009. So it was good to bring everyone now up to speed here since we have obviously three new personnel that are in admin or supervisory that were not here in the beginning. So I was one of the only ones to take it early on, and just with opening up and everything, it was good to kind of go back and refresh now that we're up and running and can see it live. Versus we did 5 years ago. So between Johnson and Linn, we partnered together for that and had about 10 people here that we were able to get trained on it. So it was good, and I think all in all, everybody left with a real good understanding of it now that they didn't have before. One of the notes here, and Dave can fill us in on one of the bullet points or help me out with one of them. I know he's followed it real lately this week. June 4th, the House File 651 went through. But it sounds like there's some new developments to it. Basically, the following language that kind of directly affects us as a public safety answering point. There's two items. The pass-through amount for wireless surcharge revenue was increased from 46% to 58%. It's a 12% increase. for the amount of money that goes to the E911 Service Board, which in turn, they fund a lot of our budget items and stuff out here at Jack to reduce what we ask for in our budget. So those funds are important to us because essentially in the end they kind of pass through to us for our use. And there's one more item, then Dave, if you want to add about kind of the new development on that 58% item that just came up, like what, yesterday morning? Late Wednesday night?
Late Wednesday night, I believe it was, yeah.
And then the second item was the surplus grant language. They changed it now to meet the definition of the 911 fund, so the receipt and delivery of a 911 call. So we can now use surplus grant dollars for projects outside of the PSAP. One item that might potentially be of interest into us as this, well, we're waiting to hear the final grant. They're talking about 1 year they might up it to spend down the surplus. Right now it's been $100,000 a year. We applied for that last year for the first time and got it. The year before we didn't get it because we didn't meet the scope of the project in which they had allocated the funds for. But this fiscal year we did a project with that and upgraded all of our 911 call taking positions and computers with that and some back end software. Going forward, it might be an idea to think about for the Solon Tower site. I know it's been a discussion amongst this group. Those funds could be used towards that. So if there's any news we hear this year that they may increase it, and it could go anywhere. 100,000 is what it's been. They could set it anywhere up to 250 or something this year. There's been talk that would be a good number to maybe earmark and think about for us that we could put toward those costs. It'd be a good way to utilize those funds. Those are the two main highlights that kind of apply to us directly. Dave, if you want to just mention real fast about
that. Yeah, so I guess it was Wednesday night after our county/state legislative meeting. We'd heard rumor that the governor might redline and line item veto some sections of 651. I think about 4 or 5 in the evening I got a call from Mark Scout, the administrator for HSEMD, saying, hey, Court Overton sent this over. They're looking to mark this up a bunch. What's really going to be a problem? And I said, basically all of it. ISSDA, Sheriffs and Deputy Association, and Emergency Management took the lead this year and lobbied heavily for that. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of time we spent on that. They're talking about line iteming that out so that 12% would completely go away. They got what they wanted out of the legislators, which was a one-time $4 million cut of that pie for State Patrol's 700 statewide radio system, and they're concerned that opening it up and increasing it to 58% is going to draw it down too low. So I tried to advocate with Director Scouten to encourage the governor's office to keep as much of that language as possible, receipt and disposition of the call, allowing it to be used for more things outside the walls of the dispatch center.
They can't change the number.
But they can't change the number. So either they line it out or they keep it, and it's strongly suspicious. There's a lot of bets that the governor is going to line item that out, so it's going to probably stay where it's at. So we probably won't see the 12% increase, which will be very adversarial next session between us and the interop board for the state and the governor's office.
Well, part of the reason is because this was a bipartisan deal put together. So.
Yeah, at the last hour, literally.
Yeah, typically on those kinds of opportunities, and this happened even when I was working in the legislature, if the governor's office isn't at the table, it does make it more difficult to get buy-in. And some of these last-minute decisions, sometimes that has an impact. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of an update on that front that kind of applies to us this legislative session. June 8th, I met with Terrence to go over the ongoing concerns regarding the union labor management requests that they've made. We'd like to thank, Chief Ininga, North Liberty Police Department. She shared with us kind of their guidelines that they're using now. They just developed a new committee, if you want to call it that, with some guidelines. And so we're starting to look at those and review those and see what we can look at possibly implementing or use for suggestions or guidelines going forward next couple of months.
Tom, did you send him a copy of the bargaining agreement you wanted. It was a contract, right?
We didn't have.
Okay.
And also, last Monday, Jack participated in Safety Village this year that Mercy Hospital puts on in conjunction with several others in the area for teach the kids safety-related items. I know my kid's been my whole family actually has been there for the last 4 years. This year, we actually integrated us in the 911 discussion and teaching the kids. Before, it was, you know, somebody from the fire department or somebody was teaching it, and we approached them and about, you know, having the jet come out and speak. We thought kind of was a good area that we should talk about. So starting this year, Brandon went out and spoke actually on Monday to the kids, and then yesterday they did an activity that involved using the phone system we ordered has not got received yet, or are in the process of trying to procure because they can't find the other one that I guess the fire department owned. There's a simulated 911 system the kids used to use. This year we just used phones and they talked to a dispatcher on the other end. They just simulated it, but we actually sent two dispatchers out there, volunteered on their own time to go out and work with these kids, and it went great. We got some good photos, and we're going to look at putting those up on our website just to show kind of the involvement in it and what our staff did. And I think they felt, I know the staff felt very good about going out there. It's something they've been wanting to do and to give back. So anyway, that sounds like something we're going to be doing going forward after the first year, and it went pretty well. Only a couple items left. I know it's kind of a long-winded one, but it's been a couple of months. Starting in July, Raycom's going to start reprogramming the radios to accommodate the over-the-air keying feature, the encryption that was part of our contract we signed last year. That portion of the contract kicks in July 1st of this year. So they're going to start going around touching the programs, the programming to enable that feature. And also one I think we considered a big hurdle here, I know Brandon and I do, all the fire departments have agreed to be paged on one talk group like initially designed. 5 years ago when we set out, the goal was law and fire would be on one dispatch, or law was on one dispatch channel, fire would kind of be the same way that we page them out. That did not happen through some changes in leadership along the way between departments. We've met, we've talked to them, and got everybody to agree on finally trying this, and we know it'll work, but it's also going to be more streamlined for our staff. Instead of having three or four different ways to page out these different departments, we have to stop and think, wait, it's this department, I got to page them that way. We're going to go back to streamlining it one way across the board, less confusion, should result even quicker times getting out the door, because they're not stopping to think, well, wait, this is Iowa City, or this is a county fire department. This is a big hurdle for us, I know, internally, something we've asked for over the years. So as we get the new programming rolled out, we are going to then change the way the fire departments are being paged currently. So we think it's going to be good overall. Last thing, talk a little bit about June 12th. I know you've probably seen in the papers just the dispatch center's involvement in the incident at Coleridge Mall. Just to give some quick numbers, 41 911 calls were taken by this center in less than 3 minutes. So they did overflow into Cedar Rapids, who is our overflow. 21 calls were answered here, 20 there, and again, 3 minute period. So that was 41 calls lighting up 13 lines. And to keep it between the two centers and the information exchanging as well as it did, we think it went phenomenal. All the agencies have commented on how good everything went, and I'm sure most of you have heard, which is something probably different than we don't usually, but the one place that got the 12-minute snippet out there that kind of went public right away, I think that's what really had a chance to have everyone kind of, I guess, see what a dispatcher does on the other end, and that was able to, I guess there could have been a lot of opinions the other way, but they've all been positive. So we did hold a meeting this week to sit down. We met with Cedar Rapids and our staff that worked that night to try to see, hey, what, you know, when your phones overflow, they couldn't transfer back because the call would have bounced right back. So looked at ways to improve getting the information faster. The ways they were using did work great, but we're always looking for something better and more efficient. We did identify one way, since they are our overflow backup for that case, implementing a talk group that talks console to console. So our dispatch center can talk to Cedar Rapids dispatch center directly. Just dispatch to dispatch, no one else, and they can get the information out there faster, because that's a good way to just click up a button and start giving us information. So that was one feature that they utilized up there that we have not yet, because they have three centers that talk amongst each other. We just have one here, so it's kind of a inter-county feature we just hadn't given much thought to. That incident brought the subject back up again, and we all think it'd be very beneficial. So that's one takeaway we got. There's some training we came up with between the two counties we thought would be beneficial. So all in all, everything good. And I think we've got some good things to improve on moving forward to make us even better. So with that, I'll let you move on to the agenda. Sorry, it's a winded one, but
any questions for Tom?
Had a couple months.
Just a quick one for you, Tom. How? What role did Cedar Rapids or Linn County play then in communicating back to Johnson County? They have the overflow, but they can't call back down here. What sort of services or guidance can they provide?
So what they did was most of the information they took, they teletyped directly through the state system. So we have point-to-point computer system, which is pretty much real-time. So they any information they obtained from callers that might either have been new or that we didn't have, they relayed it back down to us.
Okay, so that was what you were talking about, a system that you don't use here, an interconnected application, just because it's one that's pretty much what was going on with them statewide. Or the information they're putting into the state system that you could be doing more one-on-one back and forth between Linn and
Well, Johnson just County. Quicker, so you're not relying on the computer. They would be able just now to push a button on the radio and just key it right down to us. One of the other downfalls, I guess, that we could back up and plan is we both have access to each other's radio system, right, in our talk groups. Cedar Rapids hasn't really developed a formal how they wanted to add Johnson's to those radio systems. They hadn't really trained their internal staff on, hey, these are all Johnson's talk groups. It's okay if you just pull them up, or if you needed to say something on it, you could key it up. So they didn't have, one of the things they didn't have was they didn't have access to the talk groups that we were using so they could monitor and hear, because you never know, at that point they didn't know if anybody left going north maybe toward them. Now we're going to have means of communication where, A, they're going to hear that stuff. They're going to, their communication center manager is going to start putting that stuff on their screen for them. But, B, the direct point-to-point method for them, if they were on the phone, they could just start keying up and saying, hey, I have a caller that's got this information. They can get it to us immediately versus maybe the two-second delay of a computer, or if that computer wouldn't cue that message, you know, for a second or two. Just a way to talk directly, since obviously the phones, they knew we were overwhelmed. You know, we weren't going to get through as fast on the phone. So that's what we're looking at doing to make that quicker.
Thank you. Any other questions for Tom? Nice report. Thanks, Tom. We'll move to item five, which is with the JAC employee participation in Johnson County Fitness Wellness Room. And we've been working on a process to allow the Joint Emergency Communication Center employees to participate in the Johnson County Wellness Program. And we have Diana here. To maybe just give us a quick update where things are. You can see from Tom's report that the Board of Supervisors has approved the idea that we want the Joint Emergency Communication Center employees to participate in the process. We're not asking for any funding from JEC other than if you would pay for the cards, the access cards to use it, to have access and gain entry to both the fitness facility that Diana will tell you about that's being built across the street at the Secondary Roads facility, but we also are comfortable and welcome the idea that the employees can use the Health and Human Services building on the third floor, which is our gym as well. So, all right.
So we, plans are underway. The equipment has been ordered. So we, the date right now is looking at probably the August 1st for a start date. And we have a two treadmills, an elliptical, a weight stack machine, and then some like resistance bands and just some smaller equipment. And that will fill the room, really. So what this would look like is access to both that facility across the street from here and then our larger facility down in the Health and Human Services building.
And so one of the things that the county has allowed for other employees, particularly those who work for the state government but are housed in Johnson County, in particular our two buildings, the courthouse and also at the Health and Human Services building, maybe explain, we have just a fairly basic waiver system.
Yeah, so originally it was just Johnson County employees that were allowed access to these, to the fitness facility down in Health and Human Services building. And then the question came up, what about these state workers that work in our building? And we just basically modified our waiver and our policy to allow them access to that facility, and this would be no different. So it would just change a little bit of the language in our policy, in our waiver, and yeah, that's really it.
Right. So for our discussion here today, really it comes down to if there's still an interest for the employees to participate in that. The cost of the cards are somewhere $7 to $10, just, and it's basically one of these. And other than that, there really isn't much else other than to have council review the waiver system just to make sure that that's all kosher. But we're not asking, there would had been some discussion about would there be an investment of Jack to help pay for the equipment and such, and, the, and our county board felt like the investment in the employees here and hopefully the potential of getting additional reductions in healthcare costs would actually just be a wash. So we just felt like this would just be a good investment. And we don't want any of the old equipment from here.
That's good, because it's already gone to auction.
Yeah, it's okay.
just a quick question. So the card, which just dawned on me, I left mine at home this morning. That's great. We can program the county's card in our system. Could we not just
Probably wouldn't be a problem.
I mean, Lonnie, your county card is programmed to work here. Could we not just do that?
I tried some doors and it didn't open.
Well, there might be a reason for that. We can ask
Elder. That would make it even... even a better system where we wouldn't even have to spend the
$8. Yeah, that way they only have to carry one card.
Yeah, the only thing that the only thing we're doing, just so folks are aware, we are putting some cameras up. We're putting some cameras up across the street because we like to have that area secure after hours. We do we will have a bar and
cameras,
things like
you're
that.
You're going to view the public.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, Big Brother.
I know.
So working out nonetheless?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as it isn't a drone.
That's creepy.
Well, it's like, yeah, or on a speed camera.
Yeah, on
a
trailer.
So on the trailer. You know what, we could just set the trailer out there and video it.
There you go.
So, but nonetheless, so those are getting installed. The only thing that I think came up was if the employee would indicate on that form if they were going to use HHS, or if they're going to use across the street, or if they're going to use both. That way we can just program it, because...
one or the other?
One, or both. So that's the only thing that I think Diana will add to that form.
Yep.
But other than that, I think we're kind of ready to roll here. And if we can make it so that we don't have to get... employees don't have to carry another card,
yes,
that'd even be better. So
I will ask Elvin about that one.
Yeah, ask Elvin and...
And just our staff, we did a poll back a few months ago when this first discussion started, and so of course they're all interested and everybody's excited. So,
yeah. So all we need from this board is basically to allow Tom to work with council to review the forms, and I'd say get it rolling. I don't know what that means as far as a motion or just general direction.
A motion or general direction?
I would think that since it's involving employees, it'd probably be appropriate just to at least give guidance to Tom.
So moved.
Second.
And Kathy, you'll be in charge of
Tom
wording that.
That discussion.
That's all right. We can still have discussion.
I think Tom's capable of handling that without a motion.
Oh. Well, we got a motion
rewind
anyway.
The
just
whole to... thing. That
all right, any additional discussion? Well, we'll have it for the record. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against? No one's against. All right. So, Tom, you'll work with Diana, work with Dave and Eldon, and have council review the form. It's pretty standard stuff.
Sure.
We'll make one change to it, and then I'll get back to you indicating which location.
Or both.
Yeah.
And just indicate on the form that the reason that you're asking for them to tell you what facility they'll use is because their key card will access that facility.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to avoid giving access to everybody for everything if they're
right.
not going to use it.
Right.
And just to, and beyond that discussion is, and we're monitoring this internally as well, is a process to inform us, or if you have control of those, once an employee is no longer here, if you could deprogram, just to make sure that that is protocol. That's our only other issue, and I think we're going to ask you to check with state folks to make sure that they're communicating with mm-hmm. our folks on that security issue. All right, we'll move to item six, discussion regarding West Branch Fire Department radio purchase.
West Branch Fire Department has inquired about purchasing new radios. They are, Cedar County is looking at going to a new system, and obviously they would be two separate systems than what they work on with Johnson County currently. So with that, today they carry two radios. They carry a Johnson County issued 800 megahertz radio, and then they have their own local VHF radio they use for Cedar County. The city of West Branch has budgeted money for some radios, and they would like to look into purchasing a Harris Unity multi-band radio that could be one radio that would accommodate both systems. So they could carry one radio, talk on their home system, and then also talk on Johnson County system. A little background, I think Cedar County has about approximately 30% fire district coverage in our county. Does that sound fair? I think maybe we talked about that several times, Brandon. Yeah, we kind of...
200
very,
calls a year.
What's that?
200 calls a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, approximately 200 calls a year that they respond to, and they also play a big role, I know, in backfilling Iowa City a lot, too, when they have an all-unit response. So with that, what they've asked is if they would purchase these multi-band radios, return the current radios that JEXA has issued them, if we would allow their radios to be on our maintenance agreement because they are utilized in both counties. So they would give us back our initial investment, which those radios are covered, and then we would add whatever number of radios they buy. The talk has been anywhere, they have 20 currently. The talk has been anywhere to replace 9 to 20. Don't know if they'll do all 20 in year one or if they'll just start with 9. He's depending on what kind of deal he can negotiate right now as to the number he'll purchase. One bit of information just to provide to the board while we're thinking about this and discussing it. When we did our new 10-year deal, we were allotted up to 1,150 radios that we could add onto our system maintenance agreement at no charge. We currently have 1,046 radios on the contract. So as we're discussing this, if we were to allow something like this, we have approximately 104 radios that we have at grace period, where we have 104 radios that can be added before we would incur any charges. So that's the request they would like us to consider. I told them I would bring it to this board and discuss it because it would be a unique situation that we haven't had, where one of our outlying agencies that we've supplied radios for was now going to buy their own that would work on our system and that is compatible, and that they do respond into our county. So with that,
my question is, by adding them, does that mean when those radios need to be replaced down the road, then we're now buying dual band radios to replace theirs, which is would be unique, and we're not buying dual band radios for anyone else, and do they cost more money?
The radios currently are now cheaper than the ones that we have. Our current radios and the ones that they have are end of life, but our contract is covering them for 10 years. Any radios that we have been purchasing have been multi-band just because of the cost and the benefit to having a multi-band radio. As far as replacement, that would probably have to be something unique we'd have to discuss with them as far as an agreement we'd have with them saying, you're buying your own. What our coverage would do would just be maintain it, would maintain their existing.
So
but if we were
cover them, could cover them on maintenance, but when 10 years when they need to replace them, they're on the hook for that. We're not on the hook.
Yeah,
for
and
them,
we
right?
yeah, they'd have to make sure A, it was compatible with what we were going to, or our system still supported that model in 10 years, which in this case the model they're buying would be a continue. It's still a mainstream product. No intent to discontinue. and that yes, we would probably have to have them make an arrangement since they purchased it. They would have to buy it because they're maintaining it for their home county too.
Right.
So they would be responsible for a purchase. So that'd be something we could discuss with them if anybody's interested.
Tom, it seems to me that you don't have near the information to have an intelligent conversation. You haven't vetted this through your staff. You don't have any specific recommendations at this point.
No. Well, we have. We would be okay with this because it's beneficial to them to carry the one radio and be on ours. So we can assure them that every time they leave the door, they're not going to forget to grab our radio or whatnot. It does make sense. It is beneficial. It's just the only question I have is whether or not we are going to allow an exception to someone on our maintenance agreement and work with talking to them about maintaining their own. If we would ever upgrade or they need to purchase new, but as long as they had that radio, at least for 10 years, we'd be, or 9 more years, sorry, we would be maintaining it for sure. That's a known.
So you're our expert.
Variable.
What are you recommending we do?
Well, I don't know if the political side of it, I know they respond to 30% coverage in our county. I guess I think, from what I know, I think it's a good thing. It's just, it'd be, like I said, a new exception we haven't allowed before, if we're willing to go down that road. But they do respond to Johnson County. They do public safety for Johnson County residents. This radio, this is also something that is not benefiting one county more over than the other because they come here. They are a responder here. They have to come here no matter what. So we have to provide them some sort of radio. It's just now they're gonna buy one on their own, and I think the investment they're making is more than the investment we're gonna undertake.
Absolutely.
It isn't costing us anything to add to our agreement as long as we have an agreement with them that they replace their own.
Yeah. That's correct. We have 104 radios we can add. They would be adding a max of 20 out of that 104 allotment that we have left to add at no charge.
What happens to the radios that they would give us back?
Okay.
Did we purchase those specifically for them?
Yes, we did.
So we're out that money, other than we get the radios back, but do we have a use for them?
They can be reutilized in county. They're the same model radio that every agency carries in the county. So as agencies plan for future...
I'm hiring four deputies.
That's exactly right. The sheriff could put in a request for those four radios. What we've done is anytime we've had the excess resources on the shelf, we will issue them on a first-come, first-served basis before we ask those agencies to purchase their own. So we would have up to 20 radios to reissue within the county. One thing that they would help on is what we've been encountering now is that radio isn't made anymore. They end-of-lifed it last February. So when agencies are buying new radios now, they're all buying this Unity radio like what West Branch would be purchasing. That's what they're starting to buy in the county. So we're still kind of now starting to mix them. So you might have a department with 18 7200s, but two Unities.
Well, North Liberty's a great
one. Yeah, North Liberty's a great one. They're a half and half mix right now. They're growing more. The last four or five they've added have been a different model. One thing that we like to preach on is the standardization. So you have to throw that to another guy. You're training one model. Everybody's trained the same way. We could then go back with this cash and fix some of those issues as well. But as the sheriff stated too, he could very well put in for four and he wouldn't have to purchase them.
When we're only talking portables, right? No mobiles?
Portables only. Yeah, because they already have our mobile.
Okay. So the other thing we have to just be careful about when we agree to this is that we understand this is going to come up again. So we're going to set a precedent here because Kelowna is going to come, Riverside is going to come, Swisher is going to come and say, we have fire service in two counties. So we just need to be right when we do it the first time with West Branch.
So how much free maintenance, how many units do you have left under free maintenance?
104.
And they're going to use up how much now?
Up to 20. The number right now has been anywhere between 9 and 20, depending on what kind of cost they can.
And so what are the rest of the agencies going to, how much are they going to push that?
To do it.
As Kelowna and everybody else starts adding on, how much of that capacity are you going to use up? Which means the original users have less room to grow with free maintenance.
Yeah, this and that was the free maintenance side was our room for growth. That was kind of the point when we did this contract for the long period that we did.
So don't you need to address that?
We asked for that. Yeah, that's a point. Yep.
How many more years do we have left in this maintenance contract then that we have? I mean, Tom's getting to how many more radios do we have the ability to add on to?
And time.
9 years.
We have 9 years.
So we don't have a projection. Jeff was just saying, do we have a projection of what, how much by radios are we going to grow?
Because if the dominoes fall, like Lonnie's saying, and all these other entities do make this request, what's that push us up to? And which
11 and a half radios per year would be the average over the next 9 years.
Can there be something written into the agreement that these outlying agencies, if we get to, whatever, pick a number, 1,150 or whatever, when we get to where we're over the 1,100 that we're allotted, that we assign some cost per radio that they have to pay for that excess? Because obviously it's going to cost money then if we go over 1,100, that they may be assessed a fee. In the future.
We'd have to amending the communication services agreement with each department and get them to re-agree to that. Would that be correct?
Yeah, or we just terminate it if we need to.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember, though, is this is a quid pro quo. I mean, this is trading in the amount. So they're the largest consumer of outside the county of radios. I mean, if you go to, like, Lisbon, they had 2 radios. Big deal. They've already turned theirs.
Do they also provide the most service?
They do.
Yes. And so that's what I mean.
So, I mean, you get to, like,
judge every other.
Yeah, you get to, like, Riverside and Corona. Right. They've got much smaller quantities of radios. And the only real department that's growing dramatically is North Liberty, to be honest with you.
I guess I look at it as we could wipe the 20 that are on there. I mean, the 20 that are coming in would be 20 that would be reissued for growth. So you would be trading in 20, but to only allow us to grow by 20. So it's really, I mean, they're going to have those 20 radios regardless whether they were ours or theirs. And we would be growing by, if we were to grow by 20 more radios, I guess it's the same. To me, I guess it looked like, my initial thought was it washed in the end, was my initial.
It's not
whatever.
Impacting but we can have this contract at all that, because I mean, we've got 20.
Because they're going to hand me 20 right back. So as we grow, I'm going to give you that 20, so you're not increasing my number yet.
Right, but this is an easy out. You just add a line in the contract with this agreement that just says,
yeah,
if circumstances, you know, Jeff knows exactly what needs to be said. If there is a situation in which we can't cover our own, then we drop theirs. They're the first to get dropped. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah, and this boosts interoperability to their hip. Yeah. It's their flagship radio. I mean, it's what Jack will most likely be replacing our radios at 9 years with a variant of that. I'm sure they'll have XG100.2 out by then. It actually decreases our system interoperability costs because right now the interoperability is here, not on your hip.
One thing you could do is if they had 20 originally, they can get 20 on the contract. So like when Lisbon comes, they can get 2.
That or we just cap them at their 20.
Yeah, just cap.
I mean, that's
whatever
what
they originally had.
That's what we originally gave them.
They can replace it.
Service contracts beyond their original agreement.
Yeah, on them. We'll maintain upon your original agreed upon number that we provided.
So, other than what's been talked about, are there any disadvantages to doing this, in your opinion, Tom?
Just that it's a new precedence. That's really the only thing that crossed my mind.
Do you need any additional direction, Tom?
Is that in the form of a resolution, Tom? Any direction on or not?
No, this one wasn't. We would. We can come back with the final details of the agreement, and they just needed an answer to know because I think they want to try to purchase them by June 30th. So they had 4 days to try to make a purchase out of this fiscal, and then some other money was going to come out July 1st if they were going to split it between the 2 years. So if we were just in agreement to go with it, and then basically I would tell him kind of our verbal terms that we'd be producing an agreement with, if that sounded okay, then they would move forward.
So you just need a consensus.
Yeah. Anyone object? All right. And obviously they'll be purchasing without that agreement officially from us, so it's their risk. Okay, we'll put it on next month for more discussion and potential approval.
We'll move to item 7, which is discussion on the renewal options for the CAD software with possible action to approve resolution 2015-01, computer-aided dispatch system, request for proposals.
So with this item, our current CAD system, starting in September of this year, JEX is going to enter into year 5 of the initial 5-year agreement with our CAD vendor, which is our computer-aided dispatch software. That software is the software we use to dispatch calls for service. It's in the mobiles. Each agency has a records management suite. The sheriff has a few more modules. He has jail civil that are part of his operations.
Jail civil, all of us have records.
Yep, records. And so this software is coming up. So as just looking into the initial period here, I wanted to bring up and try to get some discussion and direction from the board on ways to go. And here's kind of where I go is start with. I passed out a letter here that I just received yesterday late, so I wasn't able to get it in your packets. I did meet with Ellert and Associates on Monday. They came down, just kind of had a first meeting with me to discuss these options if we were to utilize them like we did the first time. But to start with, we started out with a contract with a company called Smart Public Safety Software. That was the initial vendor that we used to purchase our CAD system. They were then acquired by TAC-10, which is who we have currently. And this board, we did a consent to assignment and assigned that contract over to that new company. And they have, since last year, then became acquired by Harris Computer Corporation. Not to be confused with Harris Radio System that we have. They are two separate companies. So they have been recently acquired, and that new company hosts a family of other products, and now there's some new options and expertise that they look on. So to further develop their CAD product. I've had recent discussions with our CAD vendor, which they've informed me they've since purchased 2 more CAD systems. So what it's looking like is they're trying to develop one platform, possibly in the future, by acquiring multiple other vendors to come up with this product. It's by being acquired now, I feel that we have a different relationship with the vendor. There could be some potential opportunities now to negotiate better pricing, better maintenance, since they're owned now on a larger scale, if we continue to do this. Otherwise, our current contract would just auto-renew. So there might be some new things we could look at in enhancing our current CAD system with some of the other products that they own by staying with the current vendor. There's also some other options that Ellert outlined in the letter that we could also look at. One of the options would be, you know, the worst case scenario, I guess I would see, is where you go out to RFP and you look for a new CAD. That'd probably be the most the largest of the options. There's options to look at joining with Linn County, and there's options to look at joining with potentially Blackhawk County's looking at a new CAD. You could that was an option. I think, as the consultant recommended in here in his letter, he recommended option 1, which was possibly potentially renegotiating with the current vendor, looking at their products, setting up with a group of our users, seeing if there's anything that we don't have now after 5 years in consolidated operation that we might want that their new products could provide, and try to leverage some of these discounts by, now that they're owned by a larger company and a little different operating, different operation, they're operationally different now, possibly going after those discounts and trying to negotiate there. And essentially what it would be is, as he kind of stated to me, it would almost be like the project all over again, but it'd just be an upgrade. You'd be doing it from an upgrade standpoint instead of a flat brand new install where you're purchasing everything outright. You would just, because we do own the light. One thing I will back up and say in this discussion is we own licensing to go to their new product. So when TAC-10 was acquired by Harris, their kind of CAD is this company called Global Software. We are entitled to those products. We just then just have to pay for the work to do the upgrade. We own the license, so we would not have to purchase the initial $500,000 investment over again. So just I wanted to bring up some options here and just open this kind of up for some discussion. This is not really anything I have to do today. It's just I wanted to get it out there because we are looking, starting September 1, of going into the final year, and there are some things that if things could take longer than a year if we start down a certain road, I just want to make sure that I get some kind of direction or discussion on where we think as a group we need to head. And if that's, you know, work with Ellert some more and work with the users and bring back a better recommendation, or we just review kind of some of the initial options that I presented and with this letter, and we just talk about those.
I'll start because I have some strong feelings on this.
Because
if there was a change, this would cost the county a lot of money. It would cost the other entities, too, that have RMS. But we know that the automatic rollover is a fixed cost. We know what that is already. So I don't think it hurts anything to go back and tell them, hey, we want to negotiate and see if you can get a 2, 3, 4, 5-year deal, whatever. And if it's lower than what the rollover cost is, then it's a no-brainer. So, but at this time, to change and go and do an RFP and go to a different CAD would be, we haven't budgeted for it, and I'm sure Iowa City PD hasn't budgeted for it, and so it would be extremely expensive.
But this cost that's in here of the $44.50 is the consultant's cost only. There are other costs that aren't included in here, like training the users on a whole new system. And I agree with you that purchasing a whole new software system is a huge cost. But it's not just going to cost this 14 whatever. Yeah. There's going to be more costs than that.
That would be correct, going all out. That initial cost was to sit down and address option one.
It's going to cost the county money no matter what, because you're going to have to upgrade to a new system. It's whether you're purchasing a new system or whether you're using the current vendor's new system.
And what we're trying to figure out is, since this has been acquired, and what and this is just kind of what I'm going off the consultant. I have no prior experience with this acquisition of CADs. I can tell you probably from other software standpoints and technology that I have experience with, just not CADs. And I did ask the question directly of our current vendor, what is the plan to continue the life cycle of this current product since it's been acquired? At this time, the answer was, we have no plans to sunset the product at this time. If there were plans, what our past practice has been is a 2-year notification, so that the agencies would have 2 years to plan for upgrading this. I just asked the question because I said it seems like you're acquiring a lot of companies very quickly, and I understand why, but I just wanted to make sure that the product that we are using, we would not get a surprise notice that says, hey, we're end-of-lifing you in 2 years, and do we need to look at another product that you potentially offer?